is, who was, and who is to come. To him be glory forever. Amen. The word of the Lord that forms a portion for our sermon text this morning comes to us from Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to take a stand on the evil day, and, after you have done everything, to stand. Stand then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness fastened in place, and with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace tied to your feet like sandals. At all times, hold up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Also, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. At every opportunity, pray in the Spirit, with every kind of prayer and petition. Stay alert for the same reason, always persevering in your intercession for all the saints. Pray for me also, that when I open my mouth, a message will be given to me that boldly reveals the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may speak about it boldly, as it is necessary for me to speak. This is the word of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace are yours through your God and Father, through your Savior from sin, Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. We are now in the first week of September, the first weekend of September. So what is it that you think of when you think about September? Perhaps the leaves changing and falling. Perhaps Labor Day, as we're about to have here soon. Perhaps going back to school. I don't know about you, but for me, September means football. We just had our first full weekend of college football yesterday, and this week, professional football will once again be played. What's the best strategy to win a football game? Should you simply try to run up the score, or should you try to use efficient game management? Do you use your resources to build a potent offense or a stout defense? Or are you balanced? Is what they say true, that the best defense or the best offense is a good defense? There are a lot of variables that you cannot control in football, of course. The weather, the kickoff time, the crowd, the strength of competition. But there is one aspect that every team should control. In fact, if you fail to give it the proper attention, it could well lose you the game. It is the equipment. What would happen if your favorite football team took the field and all 11 players didn't have any helmets on? What would happen? Well, the official, the referee, probably wouldn't let them start the game. You must have the proper equipment before you're able to even begin to compete. Here at the tail end of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the apostles implores these Christians to put on the full armor of God. Our battle is not one of friendly competition for entertainment. Rather, it is a life and death struggle. The only way we can endure is by being properly equipped. We need to don that full armor of God, because the enemy will certainly throw everything it has at you. But when you do, when you have that full armor of God on, well, there's nothing that all the forces of hell can do about you. You will stand strongly in and for our Savior Jesus. His strength will allow you to stand, his armor will allow you to withstand, and his Spirit will allow you to stand for him. So we pray. O Lord, Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. Amen. This is the end of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. There are a few verses after our text, but this is the last chapter. Here he leaves them with a simple message to summarize his whole point throughout this letter. The book of Ephesians, is basically a how-to letter for Christians. It's essential reading for any Christian, really. Basically, the point is, how do I live in this world as a Christian? They say that you need to learn to crawl before you walk. You need to learn to walk before you can run. Everyone knows these things, of course. But when you have a small child learning these things, and you get to see it firsthand, well, these small steps really do become milestones. My son William is not even yet 1 year old, but we have enjoyed watching him learn how to do exactly those things. First, a child learns how to roll over. Next, they learn how to scooch, that is kind of like army crawl. Then they learn how to crawl on their hands and knees. Then they learn how to stand. And then finally, they take their first steps. Throughout this whole process, there's a lot of falling down, bumping your head, even face planting. But we all learn how to do these things. Paul's whole point here is that you need to have the whole armor of God if you are going to stand. Usually, it's easier to stand up if you have less clothing on, less things weighing you down, but not so with the armor of God. Quite the opposite, in fact. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For us, standing, it's not really a big deal. Do it all the time. But it is for a baby. You can bet that when my son, William, took his first steps, it was applauded vigorously by his mother and I. But at some point for all of us, standing, crawling, rolling over, well, that stops becoming significant and starts becoming ordinary. But what if, let's say, you were in a terrible accident, and you lost that ability to walk, to stand up even? Wouldn't it be a very tremendous thing for you to be able to stand up again on your own through painful rehabilitation and physical therapy? Note here that Paul, / the Holy Spirit, by him, is not imploring us to rise up and defeat Satan in hell. No, that was already done for us by Jesus. No, all we're called to do here is to stand. But for sinners who are dead in their trespasses and sins, standing is about as easy to do as my 1-year-old running the 40-yard dash. There's only one way in which we're able to stand up under the heavy fire of Satan. It's by being strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We are not strong in the Lord by our own strength, rather by his strength, by his power. It is by putting on the full armor of God that we are able to stand. We're called to stand even. And the only way that we could accomplish that was by Jesus putting that armor on you himself. What does this full armor of God entail? Well, Paul goes into quite the details here. "Stand then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness fastened in place, and with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace tied to your feet like sandals. At all times, hold up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Also take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." It would be quite shocking, I think, to watch a football game in which all the players forgot their helmets. It's about as essential as it gets for football. Or what if they all forgot their shoulder pads? Or what if they all wore, say, slippers instead of football cleats? Or what if they came all out wearing blue jeans instead of football pants? Well, surely their performance would suffer, and their safety would be in jeopardy. Ephesians is one of Paul's prison letters, as they are called. It could be easily imagined that you could have Paul writing these very letters while just a few feet away from him was a Roman soldier. Perhaps Paul looked at this soldier and was writing these words while he analyzed his military garb. He could see them in their uniform. If the soldier went out and even one piece of that uniform was not there, if he forgot one thing, well, he'd be vulnerable. So too are we if we don't have every piece of this armor on. You need to have all of it. What does this full armor entail? Well, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of feet tied like sandals to your feet, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. What do these things all have in common with each other? Well, they all sound a lot like Jesus, don't they? Think about it. That belt of truth, it was Jesus who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. Isaiah prophesies about Jesus in Isaiah 59, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak." What about those gospel shoes that is referenced here? Well, I can think of another passage of Isaiah, Isaiah 52:7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." But one of these things in the full armor of God is not like the other. They are all defensive tools, but there is one weapon, one offensive tool that we possess in that whole armor of God, and it is the sword of the Spirit, which Paul says here is the Word of God. Amen. How could the Word of God be a weapon? Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We all know how sharp that word is because, well, we've all been cut by it. It reminds me of what most police departments require on their officers when they use taser guns. Many police departments require that to be an officer, to have the ability to use a taser gun, you first need to be shot with it yourself. It's important that the officer first feels the effect of the weapon before they use it themselves. It may seem to be a bit extreme, but many departments say it's very important so that these things aren't used inappropriately. We ourselves have been shocked by the word. It has cut us long ago. But to have your word certification, this is not one thing that cut you one time in your past and then you're done. No, it's recurring. Our old Adam is ever present within us and keeps coming back for more. We're called to use that sharp, double-edged sword on ourselves and on others. Being equipped with the full armor of God allows us to stand, and it also allows us to withstand. We shouldn't be able to do either of these things, frankly. We should not be able to stand. We are sinners. Our sins should crush us. But despite of how sinful we are, this armor of God that God has placed on you makes you a saint. We also shouldn't be able to withstand any attack from Satan or any enemy for that matter. This is not like a football game or even like a military struggle. No, the attacks that Paul warns us against of are different. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. What he's talking about here are supernatural forces. The enemies we face, well, there's Satan and his realm. There's that. There's also the sinful world in which we live. And there's that old Adam, which we live with constantly. They will throw everything at you, everything they have. You need to be decked out in the full armor of God. You can't have any weak points. The only way you're able to withstand these attacks is by the one who did already withstand them, the conqueror, Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. And what do conquerors do? Well, they subdue and they expand. Our hearts have been conquered by Christ, by his love for us. Where once we were enemies, his love conquered us and transformed us. Paul talks about this at length in this book of Ephesians. When he speaks about how we are saved by grace through faith, first he brings up the fact that we were enemies against our God. But now, well, we're on the other side. We're no longer enemies of God, we're his children, his heirs, and by grace through faith, you are in the Lord's army. And they say, as the saying goes, it is an army of one. It has one single purpose. Christ has already won the victory. We now are just the ambassadors, the emissaries. All we do is spread the word of what he did already. We proclaim his name and we pray in his name. At every opportunity, pray in the Spirit with every kind of prayer and petition. Stay alert for the same reason, always persevering in your intercession for all the saints. Pray for me also, that when I open my mouth, a message will be given to me that boldly reveals the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may speak about it boldly, as it is necessary for me to speak. Isn't it strange that Paul is asking these people, most of whom he probably never met, to pray for him? Well, not at all. He knew what the power of prayer could do. Paul points out in the first chapter that he did not stop to give thanks for them, the Ephesians, making mention of them in his prayers. Now he's facing this challenging period, this time in prison locked up for Jesus, and he wants their prayers so he could do what he had to do, declare the name of Jesus. That full armor of God is not necessarily comfortable. In fact, it is quite strange in the eyes of the world. What if you walked around everywhere in a suit of armor? Well, wouldn't people think you were strange? Or what if you went to the grocery store dressed like a football player? Wouldn't that be kind of weird to look at? Wouldn't anyone who came up to you, first thing that they said to you is, why are you dressed like that? Well, we know why we're dressed like this. It's because our enemies are ever on the prowl. The world sees it quite differently. If you were to tell someone who had no faith that they need to watch out for Satan, they'd probably laugh at you. After all, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he did not exist. Because the threat is very real. The devil does not worry about people who don't believe. They can wander their own way to him easily enough. No, the schemes, as Paul puts it here, of the devil are against those who believe in Jesus. He's not going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, so to scheme unbelievers away because they're already going that way anyways. No, the devil attacks believers. He's trying to find the weak spot in our defense. That's why we need to be ready for anything. That's why we have the full armor of God. That's what it really means to have it. It means that no matter what happens to you, you have been fully equipped to deal with that situation. If we should suffer, say, personal loss, well, we have the gospel of peace that runs us back to the love of God. If we have committed some terrible sin and forgiveness seems to be an impossibility, well, then we have that breastplate of righteousness strapped to us that Jesus won for you and put there himself. Or if it looks like death is soon inevitable for you or one of your loved ones, well, then you have that helmet of salvation, which protects you, guarantees you of your place in heaven with Jesus, your Savior. And when Satan comes to accuse you, remind you how vile you are, well, then you have that shield of faith, which will extinguish all of his fiery attacks. Then you can counterattack with the sword, with the word, just like our Savior did in the wilderness when Satan tried to tempt him and Jesus responded, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written." If you end up watching football in the near future, well, take a second to look at how the equipment is on each player. Look at the helmets, the uniforms, the pads, the cleats. All these things are worn for very specific reasons. They can take big hits with them and they can perform great athletic feats. But for us, well, all we're looking to do is stand. Sadly, it's impossible for sinners like us to do such a thing. Our huge load of sin weighs us down constantly. But then Jesus, your Savior, comes along. He removes your sin and your guilt forever, and he clothes you with his righteous armor. We were once enemies against God. Now we stand and we fight for him. We have been given that full armor of God. No one could ever remove it from you. Not only does it protect you here, but it also will protect you until the victory of Jesus, which he has won, is complete and is revealed to all. When we are with him in heaven, we will have no need for armor, for all warfare, spiritual and otherwise, will cease forever. On earth, through the grace of God, we stand and we fight for him. In heaven, we will stand and worship him forever. In his saving name, we pray, amen. Please rise.